scorned me for my blinding comments, for some exploits, for some dumb old Mars. There's a monolith, very unusual structure on this object that goes around Mars once every 7 hours.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello, welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Happy Thanksgiving if you're listening live. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Kamloops at CFBX, or in Nova Scotia at Axe Radio Canada, or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And of course, you can also find me at SpiritualShow.com or MarieBernard.com. I'm redoing my website there, MarieBernard.com, or on Facebook, Twitter, wherever, social media, all of that. So today we are going to be speaking with Richard Hyams. He is from Erickson College, which is a coaching and NLP college, and they're based actually in Vancouver. And Richard is one of the teachers and mentors there. He is a life mastery coach. He is a performance and presentation mentor coach. He has a background in NLP as well as theater sports. He has the Erickson Hypnotherapy certification as well as a certified professional solution focused coach. So he has been very busy in the coaching world, and he's going to be here today to talk about what coaching is. I've had a lot of coaches on the show talking about spirituality, but we haven't really actually talked about what does a coach do. So welcome to the show, Richard.
Thank you, Marie.
Welcome. How are you doing? How's your day going?
Very nice. It's beautiful here in Vancouver, and we're busy preparing our Thanksgiving dinner while we're on this show with you.
Nice. Okay. Well, thank you for taking time out of your day for that. So can you
tell me,
Richard, how you got involved in coaching? What led you to this career, first of all?
Well, I would start with, I think ever since I was young, I was always interested in human behavior and what makes people tick and what goes on inside persons, and that led me to make the choice of diving into psychology by the time I was in university. But unfortunately for me, the time spent in studying psychology wasn't focusing on the elements that I really wanted to focus on, and that is the positive potential in other human beings. I put my idea of studying psychology on hold. I finished my BA and decided to look for something else. And finally, I landed here in Vancouver, and I discovered Erickson College. And there was a article, or an advertisement, I forget, for something called solution-focused methods. and I was intrigued. So I took a few little courses from Erickson and was really delighted by the approach that we were taught when we were working with other individuals, which was quite different from the therapeutic background that I had already been immersed in before. And so, to make a long story short, I decided that I would try this thing called coaching as a client. And one of the graduates of the program, the coaching program at the time, coached me for 3 times. And I thought, this is it. This is what I'm looking for. Because with each session, I left feeling more positive, more enthusiastic, more inspired. And I thought, this is what I want to do with people. I want to be someone that when the client leaves the session, they're inspired, they're moving forward, they're thinking about their future, and happy. So that's how I got started.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Richard. So let's talk a bit about the difference between coaching and the psychology background and therapy, because you mentioned that coaching is focusing on inspiration and focus, and a lot of times therapy is focusing on fixing what's broken in a person.
Well, yes, you know, this is a question that we bring up in our classes when we teach coaching, to really make sure that people understand the distinction of coaching and other types of communication and helping professionals. I like to ask the question, what would have someone be drawn to or choose a coach over a therapist? And I think that can help clarify. So fundamentally, you sort of mentioned it, but fundamentally, I think a person would choose therapists if they have some issue that they want to get over, overcome, or as you said, fix something that might be bothering them, some unhappiness or some difficulty that they're challenged with. Whereas someone would choose to hire a coach who's interested in putting their attention on creating the future that they want. Now, these are generalizations, and I have to apologize to all the therapists out there who might be listening, but we can sort of basically say that the difference is that coaching is present to future-oriented, whereas therapy is quite often past-oriented. Also, coaching is focusing on outcomes and goals and solutions, whereas therapy might be focusing on difficulties and challenges. True coaching is advice-free, so coaches never offer advice. They ask questions. That's what we do as coaches. We ask questions so that the client discovers for themselves their own solutions and answers. Whereas in some cases in therapy, there might be advice given. So those are the most basic differences.
Thanks, Richard. Now, I'm curious. I want to put the number out there. If anyone has a question about coaching, what it is, if you're thinking about hiring a coach or you're thinking about maybe a career in coaching, the number is 604-822-2487. If you'd like to ask Richard a question, that's 604-822-2487. I just thought of something, and I should have asked you before, but I didn't think of it until then. If someone wanted to call in for a mini taste of a coaching session, is that something you could do over the phone, or would that be within the ethics of coaching?
I could certainly do that over the phone. Time for meeting, of course. A tiny little mini coaching session could happen.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So if there's someone out there who wants to spend, 5 minutes or so getting a really quick coaching session, give us a call, 604-822-2487. I know a lot of people are getting ready to eat turkey right now, so they might be listening on podcast. But if you are around and you're listening live, give us a call, 604-822-2487. So you mentioned that coaching is really present and future-oriented. What do you find are some of the most common themes that are brought up in coaching with your clients?
I would summarize it under the heading of some kind of transition, perhaps moving from one career to another, or leaving a job to become an entrepreneur, leaving one relationship, or having been single for a while and wanting to be really intentional and conscious about the type of relationship that this person would like to have. Typically, there are some kind of major projects that are the impetus for people to want to hire a coach. Within an organization, there's many the reasons for having coaching, that's to help to raise productivity, to help to raise the general morale. It's good for executives, so they can stay focused on their vision, not get caught up in the details and be able to implement their vision. So things like that.
Okay, Richard. Well, I have a whole list of questions that I want to ask you, but before we get too far into the hour, is there anything that you're really hoping I'll ask you about or that you want to focus on today?
Oh, that's a good question. That's like a coaching question. Recently I've been really excited about the possibilities of health coaching and health people in their relationships, because it is solution-oriented and solution-focused, so you may feel free to ask me about coaching to assist people to have high-quality, exceptional relationships.
Cool. Okay. So now you had mentioned earlier that it's not advice. So if someone's calling saying, well, should I break up with my boyfriend or not?
Then a coach would begin to... Okay, so this is a good example. So a coach would begin to first order of the day, so to speak, is to assist them to come up with a very positive, compelling vision or image of what they do want. So shifting their attention away from what they don't want to what they do want. Not always an easy thing to do, because we have habits of focusing on problems and the unwanted that we're raised with. So, a coach would not answer that question for the client, but shift his or her attention to what is wanted, and then ask a series of questions to assist him or her to decide for themselves what the best course of action is. So that they own it.
Cool. So that can be juicy if you're having, any kind of transition, right? Relationships, job. I've got to look for a new place pretty soon. So maybe we could talk about that. Well, I don't know. Maybe if you do a little guinea pig session on me, someone will want to call in. The number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. And I'm curious, Richard, what got you interested in coaching on relationships?
I would say that this is probably true of a lot of coaches. The niche that we decide is the thing that is most relevant to our own lives. So when I was first coaching, I was really interested in assisting people to transition into a job or a career path that was really in alignment with, you know, their deep values and what it is that they, what it is that would truly satisfy them. Because that was what I went through when I became a coach. In the last few years, I've been able to successfully, in my opinion anyway, successfully have a very satisfying relationship. And I used some of the elements of solution-focused thinking in order to do that. So that's what got me into that. Once I discovered what I could do with myself, I wanted to be able to assist others.
Ooh. So you mentioned the successful relationship using solution-focused thinking. So can you tell me more about that? What do you mean by that?
Well, what I discovered for myself and what I discovered around the world and all the places that I would train is that there seemed to be this sort of trend, I don't know if I can call it a trend, but where, and I was part of it, where people become very successful as professionals and leaders in their fields and get a lot of reward and satisfaction out of that. But when it came to their relationships, it was not so great, not as positive. And I realized that what happens is, and it happened to me, is that over the course of our lives, we collect these memories of all the things that didn't work in our relationships. And so when we think about the next relationship, we're focusing on what we do not want. I don't want to be with a person who smokes. I don't want to be with a person who, is going to have an affair on me. It's all the don't wants. But, you know, we say in our coaching model that what we put our attention on, you get more of. And so if a person's putting their attention on what they don't want in the next relationship with the one they have, they're more likely to activate having more of that. So that's what I mean. A solution focused is really changing the habit of focusing on the unwanted in the other or the partner and beginning to focus on the wanted and that which is working and that which is pleasing to you. Does that make sense? Can that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes total sense. And that's totally in line with the theme of synchronicity. We talk about positivity and the law of attraction and focusing on what we want. Yeah, so that's totally in line. And I actually, I should let everyone know I'm studying to be a coach right now at Erickson. And I'm just almost finished module one right now. And I've actually been doing a little bit of dating coaching for the past year, but I have experience as a crisis counselor, but I didn't really know what the coaching model should look like because I have had a couple of coaching sessions with people. The thing about coaching, actually, and I want to ask you about this, is there's not really any licensing involved, at least in Canada. So anyone can just say, okay, well, I'm a coach, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have the skills that are going to be able to get you to where you want to be. And it can actually be, if you have a bad coaching session, it can actually be quite stressful and upsetting in my experience. So,
Yeah, you're bringing up a really important and valid point. The word coach is so generic that it can't be licensed. So you're right. Anyone can advertise themselves as a coach with absolutely no experience whatsoever. And what has happened with the world of coaching is that individuals have taken maybe a little, a little online program that lasted a couple of hours, and they were a consultant, and now they just changed their business card title to coach, or they were a therapist and did that. So for anybody who's seeking a coach, it's really important for them to make sure that they are aware of the credentials that the coach has. So our coaching program is 16 days, 16 full days, 120 hours training, and that has to be completed, and then there's other requirements beyond that before one can we at Erickson would officially call someone a coach in our eyes.
Wonderful. Yes, that's really important. And also you mentioned about the no advice, because the people who I've talked with who call themselves coaches actually would give me a lot of advice and say, oh, have you tried this? Have you thought of that? And anyone who knows what it's like to be going through some kind of transition and people are like throwing all this advice and these shoulds and why don't you try this, it actually tends to shut you down. It doesn't open you up to possibilities. You just start to get defensive.
There's a lot of reasons for that. A study actually done at UBC that I've read in the newspaper and I keep meaning to find again, a 5-year study, I believe, of students who were being given advice by their advisors, only 25% of them actually follow the advice, which means that 75% of the time that we offer advice, it's not accepted, it's not received. And that defensiveness that you're talking about is very important, because we can say that at our core, we value our own freedom more than taking someone's even good advice. In other words, we would rather learn by our own mistakes and own them, right? Own the learning from them than follow someone else's advice. And so in coaching, a good coach will use questions so the client has their own insight, their own solutions, and then they own them. It's a gift to themselves, so to speak.
All right. Well, thank you, Richard, for clarifying that, because I think it's really important. And I like what you said. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's not good advice. It's just if we don't feel it, if we don't have some kind of ownership of it, we're less likely to take it.
Here's what it comes down to, is that people just do not like to be told what to do. They just don't. They don't. And anybody who has a child knows that.
That's true.
It's just, and it's who we are. It's not something, we're not broken, we're not wrong, we're not bad. It's who we are because of how we're designed, I believe. You know, we're rooted in the desires for freedom, growth, expansion, and joy.
Mm. All right. Well, I'm really loving this conversation. And we also have a caller on the line. Josh has some questions for you. Are you ready to do a little mini session?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to put them through. Sometimes the phone line can be a little bit weird when there's two people on the call, so if you please let me know if you can hear it. Hi, Josh.
Hello.
Hi, Richard. Can you hear Josh all right?
I'm a little muted, but I'll do my best to perk up and listen.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Josh.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic. How are you today?
Very good. Beautiful day here in Vancouver.
Yes, it is. I'm actually in Vancouver myself, actually, enjoying this beautiful Thanksgiving day. Hope your family is having a good day so far. Question I wanted to ask you was in regards to business. You know, as a young entrepreneur, I'm looking at starting up a company, sustainably built and focused on working with a network of people. In trying to draw together a group of people, what are some of the biggest challenges that you find as far as trying to coach somebody through those challenges and getting people to work in a cooperative and cohesive manner?
Well, are you, let me just clarify what you're asking. You're asking how to effectively coach the individual and how to coach the group as a team working cohesively together?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
Okay, well, the most important thing, of course, is establishing what we call rapport, and that means trust. You can't really coach anybody unless they trust you, because in situations of business, people are so used to being told what to do and supervised and evaluated that it can take some time for a coach to establish that sense that I'm not going to evaluate you. I'm not going to look at you through the lens of right and wrong. I'm going to be simply asking you questions, and I'm interested in your success. So it's really about the attitude of the coach, finding as many ways as possible to really convey to the other that they're here to assist the other person's success as regards to the business itself. Team coaching is a little bit different than individual coaching. At Erickson College, we have our coaching training that Maria is talking about, that she's involved in. And then we also have an additional course that's specifically for coaching teams, because there's a little bit of a difference in exactly what you said about how do you get a group to gel and work cohesively together. If I talk about the word value, you know what I mean by values, Josh?
Yes.
You know? I'm going to say this as succinctly as I can. People are more likely to be in disagreement if they're focusing on details. And people are more likely to gel and be cohesive if they can be brought together to the level of what they call the level of values and vision, which means if you're working with a group of, let's say, 5 to 7 people, you can find out what each of them, what is important to them about the project they're involved in or whatever they've chosen to do together. So what's important to you about this project? What do you want out of this project? If each of them can hear each other's values, there's a higher likelihood of agreement, because people can come together with their values. And then if out of that, you can inspire them to a vision that each of them will want to be involved in, right? then that's a good beginning. Another thing that I would suggest is that anytime you have a group of people working together, it's good to do a session where you decide how you're going to operate together. We call that a charter. So, for instance, you know, we all agree to be on time. We all agree to let one person speak at a time. You know, agreed on set of principles of how the group will operate together. Josh, is this useful to you so far?
Yeah, this is actually, because I'm looking at a unique scenario.
Okay.
To kind of help give you some sort of basis as to where this is going. I'm looking at establishing a company with sustainably built stand-up paddle boards, kayaks, and canoes sourced here in BC. Working collectively with local artisans, and also looking at our current situation being that, you know, economic-wise, there is a lot of seniors right now that are looking at finding ways to supplement their income, but they're not looking for full-time work. And something like that, where we would have a cooperative program working with seniors that are looking for that kind of work, where they maybe have previous experience and could be a great value because they have that knowledge and they could pass that on to younger generations, and also working cooperatively with a school at the same time. And that school is the Inside Passage over in Roberts Creek, which is a development school for building artisans in the woodworking trade.
Fabulous.
So in working with, you know, these different groups, one of the biggest things I see is diversity in age and the challenges that may come up in trying to get a cohesive group together.
It's human nature to want to get right to the you know, get your hands in the clay and get things started. In our coaching model, both in our one-on-one coaching model as well as the when we would work with a team, we spend a lot of time working on that. What I mentioned, those higher levels, the vision, the values. Why is it important for you? How will it serve you to be part of this project? What would it give you? Who are you in this vision? What's your role? And because we find that when people are able to answer from the level of those areas I'm talking about, values and vision and who they are, they become resourceful. And then they're more likely to be on board with I'm not saying 100% at the top of the time, but more likely to be on board with moving ahead with the project and getting to the work of the project. So it's just my main point is that it's easy for us to get a sense of urgency and let's get to it, where it's really valuable to spend some time raising the level of positivity in the group and collectively, yeah.
So would you suggest using some sort of team-building exercises in order to establish that, or would you do it more on an individual basis, or is it better to do it in a group scenario?
I think the best scenario that you can have is an and both, if you have the time. I think it would be really valuable if you could work with each person individually. But I would say yes, I would spend time on team-building exercises. Anything that gets people visualizing the possibilities and out of their talking. Do you know what I mean? Like if you can find team building exercises that involve diagrams and whiteboards and anything that gets the visual brain inspired, because that's where the solutions and the insights are. So I think one or two sessions one-on-one would be highly valuable, because I think that would give each person a sense that you really care about their success.
Yes.
I'm assuming you're the leader of this project, so you really care about their success as the leader of it. And at the same time, bring the group together in team-building exercises. I would also recommend that you be very clear that anything that happens in the one-on-one sessions are confidential, and you will not be sharing what they say during those one-on-one sessions in most team experience. That's really important, too.
Okay. So maybe just to make sure that I'm getting this clear, that then you would suggest working a small percentage of working on one-on-one and a small percentage of working on group training and really sort of developing that rapport, but also keeping that confidentiality there as well. To
yes.
protect whatever is being said on a one-on-one basis, so that way the group itself can still stay focused on the vision at hand, but any individual scenarios that may come up, concerns or areas where people feel there may be some areas needing improvement, can address those concerns without prejudice.
Yeah, and if you can address those concerns one-on-one more than with a group, it probably would be more valuable, and turn those concerns into outcomes somehow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, a way of bringing those up in a group setting would be just sort of mentioning it in a way where, somebody brought up a valid point, I'm not going to say who, and then discussing it as a group and saying, I wanted to see what the group could come up with some possibilities, and see what they have to say.
You got it. Yeah, so invite the group to think about the solutions. The question that us coaches are asking a lot through sessions is, okay, so you're telling me what you don't want. What is it that you do want? And what does that look like? What is the image of that? Getting people to imagine the positive solution rather than using an attitude of trying to get rid of something or fix something. Does that distinction make sense to you, Josh?
Yeah, well, I've been in my personal life. I've gone through counseling, and I've also gone through coaching. I've seen where the counseling can lead, and I didn't find it as valuable. Whereas after that counseling session, I actually went and joined the NCCP program for triathlon.
Oh, yes.
And went through the training program for that. And found that being in a room full of inspired people who were experts in their field, who were looking to not only just grow and develop, but also to excel and find ways to become as best as they possibly can be in that respective field that they're passionate about, I saw a lot more results. So as soon as I tuned into the program, I understood the value of coaching and definitely see that there's a niche for your services, and people may or may not be aware of that service. And I think that going forward, I think more and more businesses are going to be looking to businesses like yourself to be able to get that mentorship that they need. In working with businesses, do you find that there's some who have maybe excelled to a certain level that have worked with your company directly, or?
I'm sorry, you sort of faded out. Can you ask me the question again?
So in working with businesses for coaching, is there some in particular that you've, I mean, not to, you know, disclose publicly what it is that who you've worked with, but you know, is there some people that you've worked with in the past that have, you know, really excelled in their field and are working with your particular group?
Yes, but they're more on an international level.
skills. And welcome back to the show, Richard.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. I hope it wasn't too long. I just felt like Josh was asking some really great questions. And I just want to make clear, though, it didn't sound quite like a coaching session. He was asking questions.
No, were giving answers. It wasn't a coaching session. He was asking for advice and suggestions from one coach to another.
Exactly. So I just, that wasn't, because I thought he might want a session, and then it went on question and answer. So I just wanted to make it clear that that wouldn't be a typical coaching session. That was more just him asking questions.
You bet. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, a coaching session would start with me asking him about, what he wants and what his vision would be and all that. And then we would go from there.
All right. Well, I wanted to ask you, you'd mentioned the logical levels, which is something that I've learned about in Module 1. And
yes.
And you said that you didn't have enough time to get into it. Did you want to get a little more in-depth into logical levels right now?
Well, I could if you think it would be useful. You have experience of it in Module 1. I'll just say I think it's a really fabulous model for helping people to create an alignment within themselves or with a vision or a project. And that's what was popping into my head when I was being asked questions by Josh.
Awesome. And that's the thing. I mean, you can ask some of the... what's the difference between trying to coach yourself and having someone else coach you?
When someone else coaches you, you just are able to go that much deeper. I know that's not very specific what I'm saying, but when you're coaching yourself, you're taking two positions. You're taking the position of the client, and then you're switching gears and taking the position of the coach, right? And we have something we actually call coach position in our coach training. And the coach position is that sort of curious, detached questioner of the client. Who doesn't get emotionally involved in whatever the client's speaking of. So it's still possible to coach yourself, but you might sort of have to switch gears, if you know what I'm saying. And when someone else is coaching you, you don't have to take both those positions. You can just be the client. And therefore, the answers might be more profound that arrive in the session.
And I imagine if you're trying to coach yourself, I mean, you may have some of these questions. If you Googled logical levels, you'd come up with some great questions that get you really thinking about what's important to you and what you really want. But I can imagine that it would take a great deal of discipline to stop that train of thinking.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. It is possible. After 13 years of coaching, and I can coach myself very well, I still find it much more enjoyable and satisfying to be coached by someone else.
So I was going to ask you, thank you, Richard. I was going to ask you about the introductory coaching, intro to coaching webinar. So maybe we can touch on some of the things that you'll learn there. But I'd also like to talk a little bit about more about what you do with Erickson. And I'm curious, because we only have 15 minutes left in the show, what do you think is most important to cover in the next few minutes?
Oh, see, what you just asked is a great coaching question in itself. I think that I would like to speak about what a coach training can do for an individual on multiple levels. Because it's not just a skills training, it's quite life-changing. I think that would be a lovely thing to talk about, actually.
Okay, yeah, I'm actually, because I'm in Module 1 right now, you really do a lot of personal development. It's not just professional development.
You cannot go through that course without having some personal development happening.
Yeah.
And it can be unexpected. Many people take the training for various reasons, like they just want their skills, they want their credentials, they want their certification, but it becomes often a life-changing experience. Once again, I came from a background that was task-oriented, therapeutic, and also advice-giving. And for me, it was amazing for me to make the shift from a problem-oriented person to a solution-oriented person. And it was, first of all, surprising to find out how much I do focus on the problems. and or back then I did. And it can take a while for one to make that shift. Because, like I said earlier in the broadcast, that we have, in our cultures, by the time we're adults, we have established habits of thought and thinking and focus and attention. And what we know about how the brain works, a person can only put so much attention consciously on something at a time, right? So so we always have a choice as to what we can put our attention on. And what I discovered was how I've habitually been putting my attention on the unwanted and surprised that I was getting more of it. And so with the Erickson training, not only are you getting the skills of being able to support someone else to become more solution-oriented, it's really quite amazing what happens within yourself and how it can affect all areas of your life. And as I mentioned, relationships is one of them, but, you know, all the different areas of your life, you know, you find yourself asking yourself, what is it that I do want more? You find yourself being more attracted to positive experiences and positive people in your life, and so on. So I think it's a remarkable journey to become a coach. You can't undo it. You know, coaching is not, I often say coaching is not something we do, it's something we become. It's an attitude. It's a way of being, which is very valuable even outside of the coaching context. Marie, in Module 1, you were taught what we call the Erickson or Solution Process Principles. You remember those?
The principles?
The coaching principles?
Like trusting that the person can come up with their own answers?
Yeah. I think that there's five of them. My favorite still to this day is that the client themselves have all the resources to be successful within them. I think that's a beautiful way to live with everybody. You know, what if you knew your child had all the resources within him or her to be successful, to be in their own way, wanted to be successful? What if we were like that with our partners? Right? We would trust them more. We would stop giving advice. We'd stop telling them what to do. We would appreciate that. Maybe they don't believe it, but within them, there's the capacity for them to get what they want, to sort things out, to be great. You know, we'd like to say it honors the genius in each other. Another principle we operate by is behind every behavior is a positive intention. Not everybody likes this principle, but as a useful guide in life, I think it's great. One day I was on the bus, and this person got on the bus and took a long time to put their change in the bus ticket machine, and I heard myself saying, "This person, I'm wasting my time, and they're doing it just to annoy us and get attention." And I realized, wait a minute, behind every behavior is a positive intention. There's some positive intention behind what she's doing, and that just allowed me to relax and be in a place of less judgment and more open. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean. I think that there's an attitude that coaching offers that is, I think, in my personal opinion, useful to all dimensions of life.
Thank you, Richard. I actually was going to ask you what kind of qualities would make a good coach, and what kind of qualities would a person need in order to be coached? And one of the things that came to mind about taking the coaching program is, even if you're not wanting to get a job as a coach, just being like a parent, coaching would be a really good skill to have as a parent.
Yes, you bet. That it would, and I've heard of many of the coaches who are using little bits of coaching in their parenting have great results. I mean, you can't do standard coaching sessions with your children, but you can certainly hold the attitude of coaching that I just mentioned, and, you know, gently get our loved ones to shift their attention to the wanted and the solutions instead of the unwanted. You were asking what qualities make for a good coach. Well, I think we'd like to say that anyone can be a coach, but you really have to love people, and you really have to be willing to entertain the notion that people are essentially good inside, resourceful. also have those resources and in a place where you're willing to, where you can step into that coach position I was talking about, to suspend judgment and criticism and just be with the person as a person, fully. So that's important. And you were asking about what makes a good client. Really good question. One who's, to be a good client, I think there's got to be a beginning willingness to want to make changes in our lives, and a beginning willingness to take ownership for how we feel. And that's to say that that's where the client will be at the beginning, but the willingness to move in that direction. So, I answered your questions.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I'm really enjoying this conversation. We only have a few minutes left, and I might wrap up with a song, but I don't know if we're going to have time. So I just want to put the website out there again. It's erickson.edu. And you are, can we just touch a little bit more on what your role is at Erickson?
Well, I'm one of the senior trainers at Erickson. I mostly do coach training outside of Canada, Europe, and China. I do a bit in Canada. I'm also the senior trainer of the our 16-day coach training program. I also am a NLP trainer, and so I train people in NLP. I don't know if your callers know what that is, but it's basically we call it a toolkit for the best use of your brain. It's a study of replicating excellence, and it's a great course. And there's also a master version of it, an advanced version. So I teach both of those. So primarily, I'm in the role of teaching others to become, training others to become coaches, as well as the other programs I mentioned. Once a year, I get to do the Erickson hypnosis if I'm lucky. And that's a fun course to teach. And I'm part of, in some regard, I'm part of the, you know, all the trainers are part of the continuing development and refinement of both the coach training programs and how we train, something I'm very interested in. So those are my roles.
Speaking of development, I am on the hub, the Erickson hub. When you sign up as a student, you get access to that. Do I get to stay on that? As long as I'm a graduate of Erickson, or does it expire once my course ends?
I could be wrong in the answer, but I'm pretty sure that you are, as long as you're a graduate, you have access to the hub and all of that is pertinent to the course that you took.
Perfect. Yes. Thank you. Yes. So great. And also, I'm going to be speaking with Marilyn Atkinson, who is the founder of Erickson, in a few weeks. And so I wanted to ask you, what do you think is the most important question I should ask her?
Oh, goodness. What would be the most important question to ask her? Personally, I would love to ask her what she's seeing as the future of coaching and coach training. That would be one, because she's quite a visionary and she's got a global way of thinking. So I think you ought to ask her about this vision she has called the World Game. I'll just say a little bit now. From what I understand, she's got this vision of raising the consciousness of the planet, one conversation at a time around the world, using coaching and solution-focused ideas.
Oh.
Are you familiar with the Hawking Scale? Probably you are.
Can you refresh my memory? I know who Hawkins is, but...
David Hawkins, yeah, at the scale of consciousness, and he, using muscle testing, has determined the level of consciousness of the planet as a collective, and it's raised every so often through the years. He has numbers for it, so I think it hovers somewhere around over 200 right now, which is in the pot above 200 is positive, and below 200 is negative. And so her vision is to use coaching to assist people to bring, not people, but the world, to bring that sort of, energetic vibration of the consciousness of the world raised by using coaching. Our mission statement at Ericsson is changing the world one conversation at a time. So the vision is of these, you know, the coaching sessions happening all over the world and making changes, rippling out, and working also with groups and teams using our coaching methods. So I think that would be a fabulous question. You know, she'll be quite inspiring to listen to as she answers that.
Oh, thank you so much, Richard. That's really helpful.
You're welcome.
So we just have a couple minutes left in the show before Parts Unknown is up here on CITR. Right now we are speaking with Richard Hyams, and he is one of the trainers and mentors at Ericsson. You can find them at ericsson.edu. And I'm just wondering, what would you like to close the show with, Richard? Where would you like to leave listeners?
Oh, well, I think the most valuable thing that I have gained from coaching and that I mentioned earlier is the shift from a problem-oriented to a solution focus. But what's so wonderful is that as a coach and as a trainer of coaches and getting to do demos with the coach training, getting to still to this day seeing and hearing someone wake up to their own value and their own worthiness as well as their own vision, because those things usually go together, right? Tapping into that desire, the high level desire of wanting to do something that's going to be of benefit to others, that's going to serve others in some way. And it's always, always, always wonderful to watch. And that's what keeps me coming back. The people who decide to take the coach training programs are always interesting and progressive and wanting this. How many times I still hear people say, oh my goodness, this is what I knew, when they hear those Ericsson coaching and solution focused principles. I knew this, but I just wanted someone else to say it. And it's a wonderful world. It's a wonderful life. And it offers so much hope and positivity. The other thing about coaching is it can fit with anything. It can fit with any kind of spirituality and any kind of topic. So it's still growing, it's still expanding, it's still developing. It's not a static thing. I love it.
Thank you so much, Richard. It has been such a pleasure. I know we could speak for another hour or two on this topic,
for sure.
But it is time to wrap up the show. So thank you so much, and I look forward to hopefully speaking with or meeting you in the future.
Yeah. Are you taking the training in person or online?
Online right now.
Online, okay.
Yeah. But I'll try and take an in-person course at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, mix and match is good.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Richard. Have a great day.
You too. Thank
Happy
you.
Thanksgiving. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Again, that was Richard Hyams, and you can find him at ericsson.edu. And if you want to take the free intro to coaching, October 22nd is the next date, and they offer them every couple of weeks. So go to ericsson.edu to check that out. And I'm going to close this show just before Parts Unknown comes up here on CITR with a song by Theta Phoenix from her brand new album, Legacy. And this is Light in You. I am your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for being with me on this beautiful Thanksgiving. I want to send you my love. I love you so much. Be well. Namaste.
I know you're scared to be yourself sometimes. This world can be so blind. But if you take the chance to trust, start to open up, you just might find that you are loved. And I see the light in you shining with everything you do. Don't try to hide it no more. The light in you. Show me what you really want. Tell me what you really need. reveal all you feel. You will be received. You don't have to hide away all the things you really want to say. There are others who have felt this way. You're not alone. I feel your pain, yeah. And I see the light in you.
Every Wednesday from 1 to 2 on The Shakespeare Show, with your host Dan Shakespeare, playing rare gems from the 20s to the 70s.
Oh yeah, I love braids. Did you know that they are coming to Fortune Sound Club on October 22nd? With guests 100 Waters and Kodak to Graphs. Tickets are available at High Life, Zulu, Red Cat, Beat Street and online at TicketZone.com. Ooh yeah, just listen to that dog.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola. No marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Refreshing, yes. This is 101.9